Good morning to all participants of this morning lesson, virtual lesson. I see that the Moscow group are still not seated properly. Okay, let's wait a minute. Today's lesson of ours will be divided into two parts, as usual. The first part is studying of the article written by Baal Sulam, the giving of the Torah. And the second one is the introduction to the Book of Zohar. First, I would like to make a small announcement. If you have any problems with the reception of a video or audio signal, please let us know at the time of the lesson or after the lesson immediately. Please help us to help you so that we can make our conversations, our work most efficient. So if you have any specialists and professionals in this field, if you have such people, we would like to know their opinion. Although we study very special subjects and things, but there are obviously some general laws of transmitting information and conducting virtual lessons. Please know that during our transmission, on my right, there is a person responsible for sound performance. Behind the window, there is an interpreter doing a simultaneous translation into English and into Hebrew, and one man sitting at a mixing control. And besides, there are three people supporting the whole thing, the whole process. So if you have any problem whatsoever with sound or video signal, get in touch with us immediately. These three people are specifically designated for this task, to take care of the quality of the transmission. And now, we proceed to studying Baal Sulam's article, The Giving of the Torah. It was written in the 30s of the 20th century. And the story is as follows. At the time, Baal Sulam came to Palestine in 1922 from Poland. It was described by him when how they started from Poland and boarded a ship and came to Palestine in 1922. And of course, there was nothing here at that time. They came to Jerusalem. Baal Sulam wished to create a small Kabbalistic group and work with them, study with them, to open a small factory for producing leather, making all kinds of products of leather, footwear, book bindings. Why specifically the production of leather? Because it's a very dirty work. and not many people wish to do that. So he thought that he would be able to fit the market. And modestly, quietly, they would study Kabbalah under the umbrella of this leather production factory, and nobody will interfere. But as soon as he came, there were people who already knew him from Poland, from Warsaw. He had been a judge, a justice in the court of law, religious court of law in Warsaw. And this position was very honorable and responsible. So as soon as these people found out that this Warsaw justice came to Jerusalem, he was immediately given a position of a rabbi in Jerusalem. And of course, he couldn't hide his Kabbalistic activity from people around, because he became famous and well-known. So he had to plunge into social life of Jerusalem. And only in a few years he was able to distance himself from these activities and do what he wanted to do. Up to the year of 1930, he was teaching and writing his books. He wrote his commentary to the Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life, by the Ari, Beichar Kavanot, the Gateway to Intentions, a special book serving as an introduction to a special prayer book, the intentions a man has to create before starting to pray, and many other books. But the most significant book he wrote was written in order to reveal to humanity the way to spiritually evolve. He had to give this book to the current generation. And this idea never left his mind. He also speaks about it in his very special letter, though he was writing this letter for himself, to himself, a revelation, how the Creator appeared before him, and he asked the Creator to bring him lower from the lofty level of attainment to be able to communicate with people of this world, and at the same time being on a very high spiritual level to be able to bring to the people this knowledge and be able to help them. The same thing happened to Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is one of the of Baal Salam's incarnations. The same soul was in Moses, in Abraham. It's one of the same soul that appears here on earth and in different times and different bodies. So Rabbi Shimon did not transfer this knowledge directly by himself to humanity. He dictated it to Rabbi Abba, who was able to convey it in such manner that was appropriate. Rabbi Abba was able to convey it in a special hidden way, where Rabbi Shimon's true, genuine spiritual level was concealed. So, Baal Sulam, upon asking the Creator to bring him a little bit down from his lofty spiritual level, the first thing he did, he started writing articles for the public, for the masses. These are articles are dedicated to the distribution, the dissipation of the knowledge about the Creator, the science of Kabbalah, among all people of the, among all Jewish people. And these articles were devoted exactly to this. After they were distributed, he started to publish a newspaper. Can you imagine that? A Kabbalistic newspaper at that time in Jerusalem? It's the end of the world. Of civilization. There was nothing here. And he started publishing a newspaper. He called it The Nation. Hauma. He wanted to explain who he is approaching with this material. Later on, all these materials taken from this newspaper were published as a separate book. And there's an article called The Giving of the Torah, which is the first article. After founding this newspaper, it was very quickly closed and banned. He had the people sympathizers, so to speak, in inverted commas. Who went to the Turkish authorities. It was an Ottoman Empire at the time in Palestine. And the authorities closed the newspaper. The pretext was that Baal Sulam was connected to socialism and communism. Why did they think so? Because Baal Sulam writes about all these matters of love, cooperation between peoples of the world. He explained how people could elevate themselves to a spiritual level when they can attain omnipotence, knowledge, eternity. So all the words used in this article were very similar to those used in the Soviet newspapers of the time. So his materials were compared to the Soviet propaganda. And certainly, definitely no one in the Ottoman Empire needed these materials at that time. So they were spiritual antagonists of his. The articles that we have in this book, like The Giving of the Torah, are his most significant articles addressing the wide audiences. He planned to write 50 articles like that. He had sketches and drafts of such articles, but all he could do is write these articles, include them in the newspaper, and the newspaper was closed quite quickly, and he never returned to writing, to continue writing these articles. Practically, what's included into these books, besides the articles from the newspaper, what we have left from his articles, from his addresses to the people, commentaries on Pri Chacham, he actually was going to burn it. In the 40s and 50s, there was a boy, and who decided to preserve portions of these materials, and so they came to us. So this is more or less the history of creation of this article giving of the Torah, with which he addresses people. It's written not in a complicated way, not in the way the study of the Ten Sefirot is written. In a very simple way, he explains to the people that the only means to evolve spiritually is to correct themselves, and then man will acquire a state of tranquility, happiness, joy, and omnipotence. I'm sure you may find this article in the internet. It was posted. I see it in front of me. Love thy neighbor as thyself, the Torah says. The Rabbi Akiva said that this is a general law of the Torah. It was ironically mentioned by the sages. They knew who they addressed, and it's this expression is, as soon as we hear it, we want to run away from it. We neglect this sentence. And the Rabbi Akiva at the same time tells us that it's the general, most significant law of the Torah. It's absolutely it contradicts what we are used to understand. It contradicts all moral and other laws. And all in all, this law, love thy neighbor as thyself, sounds very weird and strange to us. We can't possibly understand what it is about. The word general points at the accumulated laws included into this general, one general law. The entire Torah is a number of laws of the spiritual upper world. In the way we see the stories of the Torah, we can't understand what it is all about. It says about some dark ages, so some primitive people, about the events that happened to them. It's purely irrational and not connected to our life. And it's because these laws, called commandments or precepts, refer to the upper spiritual worlds and not to our world. All in all, there are 612 laws. So, number 613, this general law, is a sum of the previous 612 preceding laws. So this law includes all the others. It comes to us in this way because our nature itself, our egoism, so the full, complete correction of our egoism is looks in a form expressed in the sentence, love thy neighbor as thyself. We have to get out of our vessel, our own kli, into a different one. It can be justified in the relationship between a man and his neighbor. If it says about our opportunity to create a very just, good society, nobody in today's world can say that he doesn't wish it. So it sounds normal concerning the relationship between people. But how can one law include all the rest of the laws, 612, is absolutely unclear. How does it relate to my attitude towards the Creator? If I could understand that I act out my corrections, working, interacting with my surroundings, but it's not clear to me. I don't see it that way. This article, I warn you, is much more difficult, much more complicated than it seems. It concerns the deepest corrections that we have to perform on ourselves. We have to put a lot of effort into it. If we are able to grasp this idea, there is another one expressed in this story when one Gentile came to Rabbi Hillel and asked him to teach him the entire Torah standing on one foot. A man wants to perform all these actions described in the Torah. And he asks this man to explain to him how to do it in order to evolve spiritually. There are two famous great rabbis, Rabbi Hillel and Rabbi Shammai, two representatives of two schools, spiritual schools, commenting on the spiritual laws. In the Talmud, they're always opposed one to another. One of them always comments these laws during the period of correction, and that's Rabbi Hillel school. And the second one comments on it from the light of completion of the correction. So this Ger, the one who became a Jew, asked Hillel to give him one main principle while I'm standing on one leg. One by one leg, we mean that the right line and the left line. The right line is a feeling of the sensation of elevation and loftiness, and the left line is our falls, disappointments. So please, give me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one leg. He asked from Rabbi Hillel. I want to just quickly enter into the spiritual world. So Rabbi Hillel answered. I repeat, it's a founder. He was a founder of the entire system of 6,000 levels of corrections on the spiritual way. So he answered him, love thy neighbor as thyself. This law includes the rest of the 612 laws of the Torah. No one of them is greater than this one. So all these 612 laws prepare us for being able to perform and truly carry out this main, general, most significant law. They are just parts of it. So 612 laws are just commentary of this one general, all-encompassing law. I repeat, please, don't take the expression love thy neighbor as thyself with the neglect. Try to take this expression as if you don't have a faintest idea of what's in it. Please don't take it as a routine expression. And before we come deeper into this subject, we have to look at it very attentively, because it is told that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves. We have to love him in exactly the same measure as we love ourselves. And you may ask, maybe more than yourself, or less than yourself. So I have to know exactly how do I love myself. So exactly just for this, I need 612 commandments. It's 612 desires of mine. If I study them, correct them with the intention for the sake of the Creator, directed outside, so the sum of all 612 commandments sum up and are combined into this general one. So all these small desires accumulated pile up and create one general desire. So the same material we study in Kabbalah, mathematically, graphically, is expressed here in a different language, in a different way. What does it mean to love thy neighbor not less than you love thyself? It's written that you have to love every representative of the Jewish people. Israel is the one aspiring for the Creator. The group you are in, you belong to, and you have to love them not less than you pursue your own demands. He has to know his own nature and go to the very deep, to the deepest desires of his, to work with them, to attract the upper light, which would correct these desires and change the intention from for oneself to for the sake of Creator. So the people of Israel, by the people of Israel is meant the Kabbalistic group, all people aspiring for the same thing. But it's impossible, he proceeds, saying, because not many people, after a long working day, can take care of other people before taking care of themselves. I hardly can serve myself. I have to care for, to wash myself, to care for the family. So my entire life, I'm always busy to satisfy myself, to serve myself. Even if I wouldn't like to do that, if I would like to be an angel, then demand from me that I would serve the others. So what does he mean actually? That unwillingly, most of the time, we spend on ourselves. This is the way we are created. And if I forget about myself and start caring for others, I won't be able to feed myself, to wash myself, to care for myself. So in a very short time, I would cease to exist. So this law is impossible to implement. So obviously, there is something very different, very weird in this law. How can I switch from serving myself, switch my intention from my own self onto another person? All my existence in this world demands from me to take care of myself. And I'm not to blame. On the other hand, he says, it's impossible to imagine that the Torah exaggerates something in these words. It warns us, don't add and don't subtract anything from what is written. What is said and expressed here is done in a maximum optimal way. Even if it's said that I have to love my neighbor as myself, it means I cannot add or subtract anything from it. And if it's not sufficient enough for you, I would add that the requirement of this commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, is much tougher, more stringent. That it's impossible to implement. He wants to explain to us that our understanding of this commandment is absolutely wrong. We do not understand the essence of it. This mantra of this expression is neglected by us because it's not understood properly. That is why he aims at leading us to the extreme misunderstanding of it. Moreover, he says that we have to devote more time to caring for another than for ourselves. In the part of the Talmud called Kedushin, there is an excerpt describing the relationship between man and woman. It means that what is meant by man and woman? It means that man has to take his egoistic desire and take it and work with it and correct it. It means, is expressed by the ways of to take a woman. So it's written there. About a Jew who is a slave of another Jew. So it's on the level of performing the Galgalta Ve'enayim. So if a master has only one pillow and he sleeps on it, a sort of a mattress, say, and his slave does not have a pillow, and if the master does not give it to his slave, by this he violates this most important law, because his slave sleeps on the ground and the master sleeps on the pillow. But moreover, it said that the master, if he does not give it to his slave and does not sleep on it himself, as if equaling the situation, making it equal for both of them, it's called the sodomite law. It comes out of it that he must give his pillow to his slave, and he himself would lie on the ground. So the law, love thy neighbor as thyself, it demands performing, carrying out and caring for the others more than you care for yourself. If you have one chair, say, and your friend doesn't have any, you have to give it to him. And you yourself have to stand or sit on the ground. This is what Rabbi Hillel told the guy who wished to enter the spiritual world using one general law. And the rest, go and study. So we have a question, after all this. Is there an opportunity to perform this commandment? Can we correct ourselves to make a revolution inside ourselves in order to start thinking about another without thinking about yourself? As if not existing at all. If we can imagine that we enter the state of perfection and eternity, that you ascend to such heights when man does not want anything else, only to feel this sensation which fills him. Okay, we can agree to that. But is it possible, even theoretically, is it real to perform it? And he proceeds saying, why was the Torah given only to the people of Israel and not to anybody else? You know that the Kabbalists explain and treat these categories, these terms, in an absolute different manner in our world. And in the spiritual world, it's the relationship between Golgotha and Ahab. He addresses the people and wants to elevate it, his surroundings, and explain to them what the Torah demands. So people can understand it as some as if the Jewish people is God divinely chosen. And it is said that the Torah was given to everybody, but only the Jewish people were ready to take it. We spoke about Galgalta Ve'inayim and Ahab. Ahab is the peoples of the world, and Galgalta is the vessels of bestowal. Everything that exists in the world is Ahab, and Galgalta Ve'inayim is the desire to bestow, to give. There is no place in the world, there is no sense, no meaning in this world so for this notion. All its purpose is to be mixed up with Ahab and allow it to ascend into the spiritual realms. So he asks, why is the Jewish people called the chosen people? It's said in the Torah that the Creator went among the 70 peoples of the world. But it's impossible to come to Ahab and start correcting it without Galgalta Ve'inayim mixed with it. So all these 70 desires, egoistic desires, couldn't receive the screen, Masach. So the Creator gave it to Galgalta Ve'inayim, to Israel, then destroyed it, broke it, and Israel went out into exile, into Galut, and proceeds with all his corrections. So can we imagine the Creator going about 70 people and offering them the Torah, trying to give them something that they have no idea about? Whoever heard of such childish understanding of what's written? However, if we understand properly that the essence of the Torah and commandments given to us and what we want to receive from it, when we actually understand that all of this was given to us in order to correct ourselves and receiving the eternal world, we understand that it's the goal of creation. We will understand everything, actually. Now it seems to us as a fairy tale. I'm reading this article today, and I feel that my listeners think that we are not indulged in something really serious. We read some stories, quite known things. Let's speak about them in a different manner. We'll find out how they work in the universal system of the spiritual worlds. Why do we speak about it in such a way? In a very eloquent, literary expressions. It all happens because we do not properly understand how the emanation of the upper light is conducted. The most powerful correcting forces can be found in these texts, which are written in seemingly a childish way. The Kabbalists are purposefully, deliberately described in this way. Take the Torah, the book which describes the entire spiritual system, look at the way it is written. The light which is in the Torah is tremendous, is very powerful, and it's hidden deliberately in such a way. And without going through it and attracting the surrounding light on us, we won't be able to do anything to reach the goals that we set before ourselves. Because this book was written by a man who was on the highest spiritual level. And if you write it in the way of Sfirot or fairy tales, Agadot, or in music, this is just different forms of the light coming to us. And we have to refer to it with the same seriousness. We do not understand what powers are in it. And the more primitive the form in which we receive this material is, the more hidden the light is. So between these simple words, we try to find where is the inner essence of what he tries to hide. The first rule says that nothing is done purposelessly. And there's no exceptions from this rule. So if the result is not connected to the purpose, it means that we just don't understand it. Because senseless actions can be performed only by babies or idiots. Then there's no doubt that there is a connection between the cause and effect, the purpose and result of everything existing in the world. So whatever was created by the Creator is only for performing the Torah and the commandments. It means that the Creator's intention, since the moment of creation, is to let the world know, reveal His divine essence. The creation was created in order to reveal the essence of the Creator. This is what we have to achieve. And we can achieve this highest level only starting from the lowest level. The way to the goal cannot be... on this way we cannot change our goal all the time. If I had one goal today and tomorrow I have another, and it means that I didn't have a goal at all these 3 days, 2 or 3 days. And if this goal was in front of me, so it means that only one day I was going towards it. So it's possible that in a matter of a couple of years, a man would go towards the goal for a couple of minutes. And we have to go towards the goal and not pursue other things. So our goal, our purpose, is to reveal the essence of the Torah, of the Creator. And the essence of the Creator is delight. When I feel His essence, then in me this sensation is expressed in delight. And it becomes stronger and stronger, more and more powerful. And if I go towards the goal, step by step, I feel this creator's delight more and more. Till I reach the desired level. Thus the people immersed in egoism have the opportunity to ascend spiritually till they reach the ultimate goal. Nobody will see the different creator beside you. Everything attained on the higher levels of the spiritual world is attained only by those who are able to do so. It's impossible to relate it to somebody else who is not on this level. But if you go deep into the meaning of this word, what is attainment, what is merging, then you'll understand it's a breathtaking feeling. Then you'll understand why this word Dvikut, merging, unity with the Creator, is the goal of creation. The low created beings, by gradually correcting themselves, have to elevate themselves spiritually and would be able to go higher and higher. What does it mean to ascend spiritually? It means to be filled more and more with the Creator's delight. There's no movement in the spiritual world. It's expressed. It's actually a feeling. So going higher and higher, we ultimately reach the unity, absolute unity with the Creator, which fills us completely. But the sages stopped here and asked. Before he was speaking about the sages of the Torah, now he uses the word sages. He comes to the very essence of the correction, the spiritual correction. So the sages stopped and asked, why were we not created initially in the form of unity with the Creator? Why did He have to put us so down, made us so low? Why didn't He create us the way He is? This question we'll cover next time. And now I would like to get back to your questions. Well, we are completing the first part, the first hour of our lesson. I would like to repeat. Please don't pay attention to what your body and your brain, your mind, tells you. And don't evaluate these texts by their external look. These are not fairy tales. These are not just simple stories describing this or that. If we study these original articles of the greatest Kabbalist, in that way, we won't be able to attract the surrounding light which is necessary for correcting ourselves. So please treat this text with utmost seriousness, as well as you treat the text that seems serious to you. This text is absolutely necessary to us for receiving this push to uplift, get uplifted. And now I would like to see what questions we have and what I would be able to answer. I'm glad that you are here, that you exist, that there were no special problems for getting tuned. It's mentioned the group is the creator for an individual. Should I treat a group as the creator? This man from the Moscow group. Thanks God I have my group. He thinks, and this is a polygon for me to work with my group. And I address this object. I love it. So it cannot seem to me as a work field. The group should be felt by a person as something without which he is unable to receive what he wishes for most of all. We have to enter the spiritual world. Imagine, I see many groups in front of me here on the screen. One of the groups is the Moscow group. There are two parallel tables and people sitting at it. I know these people. I'm acquainted with them. Take any one of you. He should imagine that this entire group are standing in a line. And he is the last one in a line. This group is between him and the iron wall, Mahsom. And if every member of the group signs, unless every member of the group signs on his sheet of paper, he will not be able to enter the spiritual world. So imagine how dependent on each other you are now. So till you learn to love each other and to sign to each other from the depths of your heart, truly, genuinely, you won't be able to enter the spiritual world. It means that your spiritual kli, vessel, is not prepared, not ready for it. How can it be done? Bhai Sulam says, we can't go straight forwardly. It should be done only by a roundabout way. We need the feeling of the Creator's greatness. If each and every one of us will provide the rest of the group with the sensation of the Creator's greatness, then under this greatness and in this sensation we could take each other's hands and be united. And we would be able to be connected, to take part in each other's life. Only the greatness of the Creator can help us. This greatness, suppressing everything, only this can make us, press us, create a desire in us to treat each other with a special feeling. And then when this light will influence us and correct us, we'll start feeling that this development of feeling towards another is quite equivalent to treating the Creator, the bestowing to the Creator, the revealing of the spiritual vessel, expresses itself in the measure I treat my neighbor or my friend, my comrade in the group. The group is not a field of work. It's a large, great vessel that I come to the Creator with. In general, we don't see it yet, but then we'll discover that Shekhinah, or the revelation of the Creator, is in all, in everything surrounding me, not in myself. So if I am able to connect with my environment, with all the people around me, in this cumulative vessel, I would reveal Him. If I include them in myself, in that very clay, I will feel Him. If I switch off myself, then I'll start feeling Him. So if I am connected with my comrade's clay, I will feel the Creator in His clay. He cannot feel it, but through Him I can get this feeling of the Creator. I see Mr. Kozlov, our friend. He is sitting, I see him on the screen. If I love Him, then in His clay, I can feel the Creator. But He will not feel anything. He will stay in the same state. Because I perform the correct actions, and He does not. So, to treat a group as a work field is a good way, but it depends on how you do it. It turns out that I can love another only as I love myself, so I can do it in a limited measure. I can satisfy the demands of another only in a limited way. So if my neighbor wants something that I can give to him, I can do it. But if I take his vessel and work on filling it, then I can fill him and myself with 100%. What does it mean to fill it completely? It means to feel the Creator. It's impossible to feel the Creator in my own clay. My dot is the one I can jump upwards. Except for my clay, there are other souls, and if I get out of my clay, of my black dot, the heart of stone, as it is called, and enter the surrounding kilim, then in them I will feel the Creator. So I will have to merge with all 600,000 souls if I am able to do that, to get out of myself, then my own black dot gets corrected. So we have to see around us 600,000 souls. If I exit my own and enter the feeling of the others, in them there is a sensation of the Creator for me. In myself, I am unable to feel it. Till the final correction. Merging with all these 600,000 souls, accepting their desires as my own, and paying no attention to my own, I acquire all their desires and fill them. And this gradual process, accumulation of desires of other souls, is called the gradual ascent, elevation into the spiritual world. By having done that, I reach the state when the upper light, the sum of all souls, the light of 612 commandments, starts acting as the 613th in me and corrects my own dot, changing the intention for the sake of giving. And I elevate myself to the 613th level. So there's not a single vessel in me that I hadn't corrected. So this is how he describes it. We'll speak about it a lot. Another question by Misha Doretsky from San Francisco. How can we enter the your neighbor's kli before crossing Mahsum? If I understand it without it, I cannot enter the spiritual world, then I pray and ask the Creator and my friend to help me in any way in order to get this opportunity. Why do I need it? So what means do I have? I ask from my friend to give me a sensation, or better to say, I give me a promotion of the greatness, of the Creator's greatness. And then this will press me to treat him and the group as the representatives of the Creator. Everything comes out of the necessity. If we only knew I gave an example of stepping on the tube, transferring oxygen to a sick man, and if we knew how all of us are stepping on each other's tubes, oxygen tubes, we would act differently. But this is the only freedom of will that we have. Once again, the Creator is outside of us, in the souls surrounding us.